Chapter 9.
Holy shit,
Becca murmured. I don't think any ghost left that behind, I replied. And it looks recent. I walked over to the muddy prints and leaned in for a closer look. I poked at it with my fingerprint, and it was still wet enough to clump together. It's definitely fresh, I said as I stood up.
But,
Becca said, and then stopped as she looked around the room.
Where did he go?
Heiwan finished. There are other ways out of the castle, I mused. But at some point we would have run into him. Maybe he's still here somewhere, but hiding.
That wouldn't be hard,
Heiwan replied.
He would know this place much better than we do. There's probably all sorts of hidden rooms in these old castles. My family's home has one.
It does? I couldn't help asking.
Wait a minute,
Becca said.
Never mind a hidden room. Sometimes castles would have secret escape routes. You know, so the king could clear out before the invading army could pin him in the castle. Maybe this one has one too.
It felt like one of those light bulb moments you see in cartoons, and I could see the same idea pop into all our heads at the same moment. An escape route, I chuckled. Well, that makes sense.
Where would it be?
Heiwan asked.
I mean, it's impossible to say,
Becca said.
They were always well concealed, but easy enough for royalty and various nobles to access in an emergency. Some of them would even have multiple entranceways.
It would be perfect, I said, as everything started to come together in my head. Somewhere completely out of sight where you could operate all these special effects and booby traps without being seen. They might even have secret cameras wired up so they can monitor our movements. At that, we all glanced around with unease as we realized there might be a hidden enemy concealed nearby.
Many cameras are so tiny that they are impossible to spot,
Heiwan pointed out.
Cameras can be smaller than a contact lens and hidden anywhere. They don't give off any lights or sounds either. You can get devices specially to blend into walls and ceilings. It's easy to spy on people if you really want to, and have the money to get such equipment.
What would I do without my brain box babes? I grinned.
So, what's the plan?
Well, if we go with the hidden escape route theory, it would make sense to check the rooms nearest where we've seen the ghosts. I would guess if the operator is inside the walls, they would find it easiest to control something nearby.
So they could get the strongest signal. So many ghosts to choose from. Where should we start?
I stepped back into the hall and studied the other doors as I tried to remember exactly where we had seen each ghost. There was a heavy oak door just across the hallway, which wasn't all that unusual, but someone had installed modern-day hardware in place of the old iron knobs. That one would be where King John appeared, I said, as I nodded to the closed door. Let's start there. The girls nodded, and I walked over and reached out for the handle. It turned without making a sound, and the door swung open easily. The room was fairly large, with a large burgundy-patterned rug, which was also a modern addition. There was a pile of leaflets in the corner of the room, and a few oil paintings stacked against a wall. None of it was historically accurate, so I assumed this was not a stop on the castle tour.
So, what are we looking for?
Heiwan asked, as she moved the oil paintings to examine the wall behind them.
I'm not sure exactly,
Becca admitted as she peered up at the ceiling.
Some kind of movable floorboard or anything that could be a hidden doorway?
The two girls started to roll up the rug to study the floor underneath while I examined the walls. The wallpaper was a dull red that probably matched the rug back when the paper was new. It had peeled away along the edges to reveal the plaster behind it, and I started to wonder just how much of the castle had been renovated over the centuries and what was really left of its old self. I ran my hand over the cold wall and walked slowly around the room as I took in every crevice and crack. I got to the corner of the left-hand wall and then moved on to the middle section.
I don't see anything here,
Becca sighed as she tapped on the floor.
On to the next room?
Just a minute, I replied, as I neared the next corner. I want to check every inch of this place. I took another step and was almost at the next corner when my hand felt a bump. It was subtle, but there was definitely an edge in the plaster that protruded outwards. I traced the crack with my fingertip and found that it ran from a point near the ceiling all the way down to the ground. I think I found something, I called, and the two girls hurried over to look. I gripped the vertical edge with my fingertips and pulled as hard as I could. The plaster swung open to reveal a tiny door that had blended perfectly into the wall, and I let out a small cheer.
You did it!
Haewon said excitedly, as we stared into the darkness behind the secret entrance. Let's not get too excited until we know what's in there, I said. But I grinned from ear to ear. It was a small victory, but I was ready to put an end to the paranormal mystery. At this point, I just wanted to know what the hell the assholes were protecting. I started to step inside, but Becca grabbed my arm.
What if there are traps?
The Brit hissed. Pass me one of those paintings, I said, and Becca hurried over to grab one of the art pieces. She handed me the smallest of the canvases, and I stuck the picture through the secret doorway, just like Dr. Jones. We held our breaths for a moment, but nothing happened, and it looked like the entranceway was booby-trap-free. I think we're good, I said, as I placed the painting down on the floor. I stuck my head through the small doorway again, and yet another narrow stone staircase that wound its way into another gloomy pit. On the upside, there was another landing just below us, and someone had placed a portable electrical lamp there. It was on at the moment, though I wasn't sure if it was on all the time or if opening the door had turned it on. It's a staircase, I said. There's a light at the next landing, so a living, breathing human has definitely been using it.
Of course it's another fucking staircase. Damn historians refusing to put lifts anywhere.
I think we're safe, I said, as I reached a hand in and gently tapped the staircase, which stayed solid under my palm. I think you two should stay and keep watch, just so no one sneaks up on us.
We come with you,
Haewon insisted, as she adjusted her armor plates. We have no idea who or what is down there. Remember, I told you I would keep you safe. For all we know, they could have a T-Rex down there.
I think we would have heard that,
Becca said with a raised eyebrow. I looked at the two girls, and as stunning as they were no damsels in distress. I knew there wasn't much point in arguing with the strong-willed women, but I tried to sound stern anyway. You stay behind me, I warned. I meant what I said about keeping you two safe. If anything goes wrong, you save yourselves, okay?
Please.
Becca sniffed as she rolled her eyes.
We stay together,
Haewon added. I surrendered with a shake of my head and then ducked through the doorway in the lead. The steps were narrow, and the ceiling was so low that I had to crouch just to fit into the cramped space. I had to slouch as I started down the stairs, though I could still feel my hairbrush against the old plaster. There was a mildew smell that hung in the stuffy air, but I nodded to the girls through the doorway before I started my descent. I heard one of the girls climb in behind me, but there wasn't an easy way to turn my head and see who it was, so I just slowly made my way down toward the landing with the small lamp illuminated as my guide. When I reached the bottom of the staircase, the stone stretched out into a tiny ledge. There was a small gap to the right, which opened up to another narrow staircase below. There was nothing on the ledge except the light, and nowhere else to go except further down. I shuffled to the right as much as I could, and I saw Haewon's determined face appear at the last step. There's just another staircase, I whispered. Haewon nodded, and I could see Becca arrive right behind her. You girls okay?
It smells awful,
Becca whispered as she reached us. Yeah, I said, as I started down the second staircase. When I had found my footing, I realized that the second stairway was even lower than the first, and it was hard not to feel claustrophobic as I scrunched myself into a ball. I wanted to hold my breath as the dusty air smelled even worse the deeper we went, but making myself dizzy seemed like a bad idea in the tight space. My steady pace became more of a shuffle as I took the steps on my toes.
Why have we slowed down?
Becca whispered from behind.
Jason's too big. He cannot move as fast as we can. I never would have imagined that could be true.
I smiled at the girls' playful chatter behind me, but kept quiet since I couldn't turn to speak, and I didn't want my voice to carry too much. I tried not to imagine what would happen if any of these stairs started to vanish, though they were narrow, so it would be easy to jump over if just one disappeared. But any more than that would be impossible when I couldn't twist or move properly. The light from the lamp above us started to diminish as we went further and further down, and after a few minutes, we were in complete darkness.
Cripes!
Becca gasped.
Where's my torch? I have mine,
Haewon whispered. I heard a bit of fumbling around, and then a bright light from behind me illuminated the staircase. Haewon's flashlight revealed the next few steps, and then a nearly vertical descent on some truly scary steps. Be really careful, I said. The stairs basically turn into a climbing wall in a second. They're still really narrow, but it's almost a straight drop down.
Me and Becca have little feet,
Haywan said.
You're the one who needs to be careful, Jason. Take your time.
I went slowly, one foot in front of the other at a steady pace. And soon, I was in the swing of it. I glanced down and saw another small ledge below. Haywan's torch lit up the stone floor, and it looked like there was another lamp which hadn't been turned on, or maybe the batteries had simply gone dead. When I reached the second landing, I saw it was identical to the first. Haywan aimed her torch over my shoulder, and I could see that there was a third staircase which only had a few steps. It looked much wider than the others, and it seemed to lead into a room rather than another staircase.
Please tell me there aren't more stairs,
Becca groaned as the girls caught up with me. Just a few, I reassured her. And it looks like it leads out to some kind of room, so stay alert. We don't know what we're going to meet down here. The girls nodded seriously, and I took a deep breath before I stepped onto the last stretch of the downward journey. It only took 8 steps to reach the end of the staircase, and I was relieved not to have to fold my shoulders inward anymore. As I jumped onto the solid ground, I immediately swung my gun around and did a sweep of the room with my eyes. It didn't do much good, though, as the place was almost pitch black. Haywan jumped agilely down the last couple of steps and joined me with her torch held up high. Becca was the last to reach the room, and she strolled over to us while she brushed dust from her arms.
Looks like some kind of cellar,
the blonde Brit observed, as Haywan's torch lit up the room. The space was huge, and it stretched far beyond the light of the torch, but it did pick out another battery-powered lamp near the staircase. I fumbled until I found the switch and turned it on. As light filled the space, it was easy to see that whatever the room's purpose was now, it had at some point operated as a dungeon. Along the far right wall, there were 4 small areas marked out with tall stone, and 3 of them had rusted iron gates across them. There was another exit to the room ahead, a small tunnel that was just big enough to crawl through. But I wanted to explore the room we were in before I faced the next task. We must be right under the castle, I noted, as I tried to estimate in my head how far down we had climbed.
This was a prison?
Haywan asked as she eyed up the jail cells.
Looks like we're in the dungeon, but I think it must have been used as a cellar, too.
I looked over to where the blonde stood, and I noticed the areas which appeared to be storage spaces. They were built into the wall and made out of the same stone, but it looked like the perfect space to store wine, or whatever King John was partial to. There was also a bunch of cardboard boxes stuffed next to the cells, so I walked over to examine the contents. There were 3 large boxes and 1 small one, all slightly damp from the mildew-filled air. I reached out and flipped open the box closest to me, and I half expected another army of dinos to jump out. Thankfully, there were no hungry lizards to be found, but there was a tightly packed collection of food and bottled water. Jesus, I muttered, as I looked at the cans and boxes of food. The girls hurried over to look at my discovery, and Haywan gasped.
That's so much food. I wonder how they got so much.
I reached over to the box behind the food and flipped the cardboard lid open to reveal a pile of assorted items, including a light blue shirt that I recognized, as I had seen Becca wear it earlier in our trip. I picked up the shirt, which revealed a gas canister and a box of matches. Shit, this is our stuff that went missing from the motorbikes.
Pricks,
Becca said, as she reached over and grabbed her shirt. It must be someone from the pub, I said, as I handed Haywan her gas canister, and I pocketed the matches. I rummaged through the rest of the box's contents, which I assumed were all various items that had been stolen. There were a bunch of clothes, a few more boxes of matches, and a flashlight that didn't work.
I don't like the feel of this place,
Haywan said as she carefully stepped toward the tunnel at the far end of the room.
I bet we're being watched right now,
Becca said as she looked around suspiciously. I tore open the other boxes, and they were all filled with more water and food. Whoever used the cellar had certainly done well for themselves with supplies, although I doubted they had come by the hall honestly. We're sure as hell going to take some food, I said, as I stared longingly at the countless tins and jars. We need to let Farid and the others know about it as well, once we figure out who's behind all this and know who we can trust, that is.
Will you cook us a fancy meal, Jason?
Becca teased as she fluttered her brown eyes at me.
Maybe find some more wine and a few candles.
Sounds good to me. I'm not much of a cook, but I know how to pick out a nice wine.
This making me hungry.
Heiwan moaned as she rubbed her tiny stomach and pouted. Then let's get to work, I said. The sooner we get to the bottom of this, the sooner we can grab some of that stash and have a feast. The two girls jumped excitedly at the thought of a proper, gluttonous meal, and we all crowded around the entrance of the tunnel. It was a couple of feet from the ground and was carved out roughly into a cylinder. It was long, but there was an opening visible at the other end, and a dim light that beckoned like a welcome sign. I assumed it would lead to another cellar-like room, or another dungeon. I'll go first, I said, as we stared into the tunnel. As much as I would love the view if you ladies went ahead of me, I'll take the lead. The girl smiled and nodded as I stuck my top half into the tunnel and heaved myself up on all fours.
The view isn't so bad for us, you know.
Glad to be of service, I called back. I was relieved to find that I had enough room to turn my head, and my shoulders didn't scrape the tunnel walls. I watched Heiwan help Becca to climb in behind me, and I turned back to start my crawl toward the light. It was cold in the tunnel, and the rough stone grazed my palms as I moved as quickly as I could on all fours. My mind raced as I tried to work out exactly where the hell we were. I tried to picture the castle grounds above us, and I was certain we had made our way far beyond the entrance of the building. "You girls okay?" I called back.
"I feel like a worm,"
Heiwan replied, which made Becca giggle. "We're almost there," I said, as we shuffled closer to the tunnel exit. I could see the next room was dimly lit, and I froze as I heard a rummaging noise ahead. Becca bumped her head on my ass from the surprise stop and started to giggle again, but she stopped abruptly when I turned and held my finger to my lips. Heiwan had put her flashlight away to crawl, so we were still hidden in the darkness of the tunnel. We stayed silent for a few moments to listen, but after a minute or two, there hadn't been any further noise from the room ahead. It could just as easily have been a mouse or rat searching for food, or something larger. I couldn't see any movement or shadows ahead, and I just hoped that there wasn't a dino poised at the exit of the tunnel. "Can you hear anything?" I whispered, but the blonde shook her head.
"Why have we stopped?"
Heiwan asked quietly from the back of the tunnel. "I thought I heard movement," I said. "But I don't think it was anything serious. Let's go." I faced the tunnel exit again and quickly crawled toward the open circle. When I reached the edge, I carefully peered out and checked to either side. But there were no sharp teeth or giant tails to be found. I grabbed either side of the tunnel and hauled myself out onto the floor below. At a quick glance, I could see the room was about the same size as the first cellar and filled with clutter. I was tempted to open some of the boxes, but first, I turned to help Becca as her golden head appeared at the edge of the tunnel. She jumped to the floor with my help, and she gave me a quick squeeze before she let go to look around. Heiwan appeared next, and she quickly leapt out of the tunnel with no assistance, but then she reached up for a quick kiss, which I happily provided. I turned back to the room and took in the cardboard and plastic boxes that took up most of the space. There were boxes in every corner and stacked on top of each other, and the old cellar shelves were overflowing with them.
"What is all this?"
Becca asked. I flipped the lid of the nearest container and saw that the box was full of carefully wound wires of different lengths and widths.
"Why does a castle need so many wires?"
Heiwan asked as she peered inside the box. "Bingo," I said, as I strode over to another pile of boxes and pulled two open at the same time. It felt like I had struck gold as I looked down and saw a box for the most high-tech projector I had ever seen. Beside it was the guide for use, and I started to flip through it. "I think I just found King John," I said, as the girls crowded in beside me. I flicked through the pages of the user manual, and sure enough, it showed off some advanced-looking holograms. I handed it to Heiwan, as she was our resident tech whiz, and then I moved on to some of the other boxes.
"No way,"
Becca said.
"That couldn't have been a projection. It was way too real. And how do you explain the missing stairs?"
I shrugged as I pulled out more empty boxes for high-tech equipment from remotes to screens. All of it looked expensive as hell, and I groaned when I pulled out a small box for, quote, "the most discreet CCTV in the world," end quote. "You might have been right, Becca," I said, as I stood up and showed the blonde my finding. "Maybe we are constantly being watched, just like Heiwan said earlier. It's a tiny camera you can hide just about anywhere. The box says there's no telltale light, and the case is transparent, so you can hide it in any background. I looked at Heiwan, but she was silent as she skimmed through the manual of the projector until she nodded to herself and flipped it shut.
This is very expensive equipment. But if they rigged it up on the tower, they could have made King John appear. The goop on the walls and the little candles, too.
That's insane. But it came so close to us. How could we not tell?
Amazing graphics,
Heiwan said with a shrug.
Tech is scarily advanced if you can pay for it. Think of it as a super expensive Snapchat filter. That's a scary fucking filter. So there aren't any ghosts? There could be still. But I think it was probably all this that created what we saw. What about the steps?
Becca asked as she ran a hand through her hair.
That wasn't an illusion. Jason nearly fell through one of them. I think I may have the answer to that one,
Heiwan said as she looked over some bottles on a shelf.
This one is muriatic acid. That would eat away at the stone and make it weak, so when someone stepped on it, it would give way.
And there wouldn't be an explosion, so it would still look like the ghost had done it, I said. I looked around at the rest of the room and noticed that there was another doorway which was blocked mostly by a tower of huge cardboard boxes. So I walked over and pushed the boxes aside. They weren't very heavy, so I assumed they were just full of more empty boxes and user guides. Behind the cardboard, there was an arched doorway and a set of very modern-looking stairs. Huh. Someone's built a staircase here, and it definitely wasn't built a few hundred years ago. This must be how our tech genius is able to move in and out of the castle without being seen. The steps were wooden with a shiny finish and a dusty purple carpet runner down the middle. There was a bare light bulb above the stairs, and when I flicked the switch on the wall, it came to life.
There are loads of boxes for similar projectors,
Heiwan said as she picked her way through the boxes.
Everything is empty, so they must be set up all over the castle. Maybe it started for tourists, but with that level of tech, it would be easy to reprogram it to something scarier.
I think this could be our final staircase before we solve this mystery, I said to the girls as they joined me by the modern-day steps. After this, we'll be back to fighting dinos and protecting secret government information.
Can't wait,
Becca sighed.
I think I prefer the dinos. At least they don't spy on us quietly. We can hear them coming a mile off.
Well, not always. Remember the library? Those first three lizards just came out of nowhere.
I'm glad they did,
Heiwan said with a smile, and Becca grinned in agreement. Let's do this, I said, as I started to walk up the carpeted steps. The door at the top was also very modern, with a red paint job and a brand new silver lock and handle. I turned the handle, but it didn't budge. I think you're up, Becca, I said, as I turned to the blonde Brit. Still got your high-tech lock-picking equipment? My girlfriend reached into her hair and pulled out a pin. She then winked at me and stepped up to the door. I watched as she crouched down and worked her magic with the tiny instrument and the lock until we heard the satisfying click of an unlocked door. Your skills never fail to impress, I said, as Becca stood up and smiled at me. I opened the door slowly, always ready for either a beast or gun to appear in my face, but the room was dark and still. I stepped inside carefully, and the air was suddenly less musty and more like a regular house. The two girls followed behind me, and Becca felt the wall until she found a light switch and flicked it on. It wasn't a little room we found ourselves in, but more like a full-on music hall. The wooden floorboard stretched out in front of us, and a small stage was at the other end, complete with a drum kit and piano.
Look, Heiwan,
Becca said.
Can you play for us again?
Maybe we should find out who lives here first, I said. Heiwan smiled, but nodded in agreement. We looked around at the rest of the room's contents, which was relatively unexciting. There was a collection of plastic chairs which had been piled up together at the back near us, and there were a few small round tables sporadically placed with coasters and a couple of empty beer glasses. On the walls, there were various posters advertising bands' tours and a few photographs of past concerts. I wandered over and studied them, but I didn't see any names or faces that I recognized. It clearly wasn't the kind of place that attracted big-name talents.
That must have been a bloody long tunnel,
Becca said as we examined the room.
Where on earth are we?
I can't work it out, I said. The staircase and tunnels must have led us just outside the grounds of the castle, so I think we could be near the city center, actually. Let's head outside and see what we can find. We walked over to the far door of the music hall, but froze when we heard voices approach from the opposite side of the door. Quick! I said, as I grabbed both girls by the arm and ran to the back of the stage. I switched off the lights again, and then we ducked down behind the instruments. I heard the door swing open, and two pairs of footsteps enter the music hall. A moment later, the lights came back on, and the footsteps walked down the main aisle. The two people didn't talk, but I heard a male voice sigh and the sound of someone leaning against a creaky table. The girls stayed still as they looked at me with wide eyes, and I slowly peeked around the side of the stage. I looked at the two figures who stood in the music hall. It was Baxter and Betty from the Stinky Pete.